Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Before we get into this week's potpourri of salient economic information that you need to know, I want to make a few comments on artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence is indeed for real, and it is a transformative technology. But in the short term, Wall Street, not surprisingly, has made it into a freak show, turning AI into an echo of the dot-com bubble. Every company is now racing to announce that it will become a huge beneficiary of the AI boom, and investors are tripping over themselves to purchase these stocks without any understanding of the impact it will have on their revenues and earnings. Now, first of all, you have to understand that AI has been around since the late 50s, even earlier than that in its beta versions, but really since the 1950s is when it really started to gain a foothold, and then again it had another boom in the 80s, and then sporadically throughout the decades it's gained more and more traction. I mean, the point here is that it is not a new technology. However, Wall Street is reacting to the launch of ChatGPT as if this AI technology was just invented, and it's making many tech stocks trade like as if a drug stock would after the cure for cancer has been announced. Now, of course, longer term, AI will have a substantially positive effect on productivity, but it will also have an extremely negative effect on the labor force as it replaces a great number of jobs. We should be thinking about the millions of mostly unskilled laborers and, to a lesser extent, even skilled workers that could be supplanted by artificial intelligence, and maybe even rather quickly. Now, I'm all for creative destruction. Technology throughout history has supplanted workers, and these workers find new jobs. But if it happens very quickly, it is very disruptive to economic growth. So we have to start thinking about how these people will be gainfully employed. But perhaps they won't be gainfully employed. Perhaps the plan is for these people to collect universal basic income using their central bank digital currencies that will be deposited into their digital wallet. That's a whole nother podcast, and we are prepared for that eventuality where central banks remove your ability to hoard cash and then can perpetrate any amount of negative interest rate, nominally speaking, that they want, and there's nothing you could do about it except own gold and starting to accumulate it aggressively before that happens. We are on top of it. I'll let you know when it's time to do that. But back to AI, not every company that is claiming that it will have an imminent jump in productivity from AI is going to experience significant benefits. Case in point, the company that makes Danone yogurt announced it is now an AI company because it was going to use that technology to determine what bacteria is best for your gut. Well, that's nice, but it is probably not going to boost earnings anytime soon. We will indeed invest in AI on a pullback in the right economic format, the right economic conditions. But remember, tech gets wrecked in a recession. The dot-com stocks, again, internet, very, very transformative technology, productivity enhancement technology. But that didn't stop these stocks from losing 83% of their value in the 2000 recession, despite the invention of the internet. Now back to macroeconomics. Chair Powell said at his testimony before Congress on June 21st that the U.S. economy is very strong because of the very strong labor market. This is a perfect illustration of how feckless the chair really is. Both of those statements are incorrect. Firstly, GDP growth has crashed from 5.9% in 2021 to just 1% growth today. That is a significant deceleration towards a recession, not a very strong economy. Secondly, the U.S. labor market is currently soft, not strong. Forget about very strong. The index of total hours worked was lower in May than it was at the start of this year. Therefore, the total impulse of labor into the economy, the number of employees times the number of hours that they worked, is down so far in 2022. A more accurate statement would be that the labor market enjoyed a significant rebound following the pandemic, but has recently started to weaken significantly. All of the subcomponents of the non-farm payroll reports have weakened, even the household survey. The last to crack is the establishment survey, and that is on the agenda. Employees are now forced to take on multiple part-time and inferior jobs in the leisure and hospitality sectors to cope with a much higher cost of living, but have lost the better full-time job with healthcare benefits and 401k plans and pensions. That's what's happening here. So there is an increase, nominally, in the headline establishment survey, but that is the result of a much poorer quality of jobs. And even that is slated to head into negative territory. Turning to our Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, she said last Friday that the chances of a U.S. recession are low and declining, and that she's now more confident in a soft landing than ever. More confident than ever in an economy soft landing. Now, the bond market disagrees with that contention strongly. Sorry, Janet. The yield curve inversion is now so deep and so strong and so protracted, it virtually guarantees that not only are we going to have a recession, but it will be one which is very steep. The 2-10s spread, the difference between the 10-year note and the 2-year note yield, is negative 100 basis points. And that curve spread has been inverted for 1 year. The combination of a deeply inverted yield curve for 1 year has never produced anything but a disaster for the economy. For reference, leading up to the global financial crisis and Great Recession, where the global financial system collapsed, the maximum inversion of the yield curve was just 19 basis points. In addition, it's not just the yield curve that I'm looking at. In addition, the Index of Leading Economic Indicators was released on June 22nd, just a few days ago, and it fell further to 106.7, and the pace of decline was at a faster rate. The index was down 4.3% over the six-month period between November 2022 through May 2023, which is a steeper rate of decline than its 3.8% contraction over the previous six-month period. The reasons behind the decline in the leading economic index indicator was based on a deterioration of the gauges of consumer confidence and expectations for business conditions, falling ISM new orders index, that negative yield curve spread that we just talked about, and worsening credit conditions. And speaking of credit conditions, here's what the Dallas Fed, this is the Federal Reserve Regional Banks, very important survey called the Dallas Fed's Survey of Banking Conditions, has to say about the health of the economy. I'm going to quote it. Quote, loan demand declined for the seventh period in a row, and most bankers expect a further deterioration over the next 6 months. Overall loan volumes continue to fall, with particular weakness seen in consumer lending, while commercial real estate and commercial and industrial loan volumes continue to see marked volume declines, residential real estate lending remains stable. Loan non-performance increased, with the rise led by commercial real estate loans. Credit standards and terms continue to tighten, and loan pricing continues to rise. Bankers' outlooks remain pessimistic, with contacts expecting a further contraction in business activity and an increase in non-performing loans over the next 6 months. Close quote. But Keynesian liberal Apologists like Ms. Yellen aren't interested in telling you the truth if it goes against her agenda. The following data comes from Kevin Malone and his team at Green Rock Research. 121% of the S&P 500 index return year to date has come from just 7 stocks, all of which are supposed to be a great beneficiary of AI technology. That means the other 493 stocks are down more than 3% year to date. The last time this happened was in 1998. Back then, it was the top 11 stocks of the S&P 500 that contributed slightly more than all of the return of the index, while in 1999, it was the top 6 stocks. This narrow market scenario led to an 83% decline over the ensuing 3 years in the NASDAQ and 50% decline in the S&P. Just how dangerous is the stock market now, you ask? The total market cap of equities as a percent of GDP is now 165%. This metric was 142% in the NASDAQ bubble of 2000 and 104% just prior to the financial crisis in the year 2007. And that 165% ratio is at a greater valuation ratio than at any other time in history prior to 2020. The average of that metric is around 78%. In addition, the risk premium you receive when you purchase stocks is now zero. If you take the risk-free yield from T-bills, which is over 5%, and subtract the earnings yield on stocks, which is an optimistic guess on what they will earn 12 months from now, you get nothing for the S&P stocks and less than zero in the tech stocks. In other words, you are getting no zero compensation for taking the added risk to be involved in the stock market. By the way, 2007 was the last time the risk premium was this low, and that, as you know, the end of 2007 was the start of the official global financial crisis and Great Recession. We are most likely heading for a financial disaster. The economy is going into a steep recession and stock prices should tumble alongside. The catalyst for the next phase of the bear market will be a sharp deterioration in the non-farm payroll reports, which is going to scare all the big boys in the big hedge funds to rush for the exits at once. This should begin around October timeframe, but it could happen before. Then bond and bond proxies, which we now own, will not only continue to pay a nice dividend for us, but we should also get some strong capital appreciation added to that dividend as well. Remember, no bear market decline is linear, and this one is no different. The risk-reward dynamic has seldom been more unfavorable for stocks. For now, we are happy to, as I say, collect dividends in treasuries and defensive stocks while we wait for the appropriate time to position net short in our portfolio. Then, after the grand reconciliation of asset prices consummates, the IDEC model will then be able to identify a genuine and sustainable, safe start of a bull market that we can invest in. And yes, that will include AI.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.